Chapter 7 Mystery Solved. At midnight, we watch the princesses open their trapdoor. We wait until the last princess disappears beneath the door, closing it behind her. Then, under the invisibility cloak, Jonah and I tiptoe into the bedroom. Holding the cloak over us with one hand, I carefully open the trapdoor, and we wiggle through it. It's not easy. We keep bumping into each other as we make our way down a winding flight of steep steps. I can see the princesses below us descending the steps as well. "Don't trip," I whisper to Jonah. Princess 12 glances up at the noise. We freeze. Thankfully, she keeps going. The stairs end in a small room with no windows. The princesses are gathered together, all looking glamorous in their colorful outfits and brand new black patent leather shoes. There are no prim pink uniforms or tight buns. The sisters all wear their hair in different styles, loose and flowing, high ponytails, braids. It's fun to see them showing off their personalities through their fashion. I really like what Princess 11 is wearing. It's a flowy red tunic over striped leggings. I wish I had something like that to wear to the school dance on Saturday night. If I was going, that is. I'm probably not. Jonah and I stay silent under our cloak, and it works. No one even glances in our direction. I watch Princess 1 turn to face a stone wall. She pushes a button that's so small and faded, you can barely see it. A door slides open. Aha! A secret exit. The princesses hurry out, and Jonah and I quickly follow them into the night. Outside, Princess 1 presses another button, also very hard to see, on the side of the door. The secret door slides back shut. So sneaky. Without making a sound, the princesses run past a huge stand of trees so tall they reach the dark sky. Behind the trees is a sparkling river. 6 empty boats are lined up at the dock waiting. We watch 1 and 2 climb into the first boat, 3 and 4 climb into the second, and so on. Finally, 11 and 12 climb into the last boat. Each princess picks up an oar. If I were in charge of the distribution, I would have put 12 with 1 to even it out in terms of strength. But anyway. "Where should we go?" Jonah whispers. "With the youngest ones," I say. "Less likely to be suspicious." We carefully get into the boat with 11 and 12. It kind of wobbles. 11 makes a face at 12. "Stop making the boat rock," she says. "I'm not," 12 insists. 11 rolls her eyes. "Sorry," I say in my head. 11 and 12 don't look much alike. 11 has brown curly hair that's similar to mine, pale skin and blue eyes. 12 has straight black hair, brown skin, and brown eyes, and she's wearing a bright blue jumpsuit. I remember from breakfast this morning that 12 is the one who likes tap dancing. I turn to Jonah and hold a finger to my lips. Jonah nods, understanding. 11 and 12 row the boat together across the water. A breeze off the river makes the invisibility cloak flutter, but I keep it in place with my hands. "Thanks for practicing with me today, Twyla," 11 says as they row. "Twyla? Oh, that must be 12's name for herself, the way 3 called herself Terry when we met her. Was Twyla helping her sister practice tap dancing?" "No problem, Ellie," Twyla says. 11 equals Ellie. Got it. "I'm sorry I can't give you any real competition," Twyla adds. "You are the queen of chess." "Chess? Oh, I bet it was Ellie's chessboard I noticed under the bed yesterday." "Thanks. I really enjoy it," Ellie tells her sister as she rows. "I can't wait for the competition." "When is it again?" the day after tomorrow, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Twyla gasps. Ellie, no! What? Ellie asks. The chess tournament is the exact same day and time as our ballet recital. Ellie's face falls. She looks like she might cry. I was hoping that I could sneak out to the tournament and no one would notice, she says. But that will be hard to do when I'm supposed to be on stage. All of Father's fancy friends will be watching too, Twyla says. I hate that he won't let me play chess. Ellie frowns and stares out at the dark river. Poor Ellie. So unfair, Jonah whispers to me. Ellie turns to Twyla. Did you hear something? She asks. No, Twyla says. That must have been from another boat. Voices carry on the water. Whew, that was close. Oh, we're here! Princess 8 in the next boat calls out. Yay! Twyla says, and Ellie smiles, perking up. The boats approach a stone archway. One by one, the boats ahead of us go through the arch and disappear. Whoa, Jonah whispers. I'm too shocked to shush him. Where did the boats go? I guess we're about to find out. Twyla and Ellie row right through the archway and then pull in their oars. Now we're on a platform. Suddenly, the platform lowers and the boat is pulled into a tunnel. A secret tunnel. I look at Jonah and he's grinning. So cool, he mouths to me. I nod. It really is. The tunnel shoots sideways, carrying the boat forward like a roller coaster. Whee! I hang on to Jonah so he won't slip out from under the cloak. Finally, the boat arrives at the mouth of the tunnel and emerges onto a riverbank. Looming above the riverbank is a large stone building. Amazingness! A secret underground moat and castle. The other boats are pulling up to the dock. A gentleman in a fancy uniform helps each princess from the boat onto the dock, and the princesses head through a stone doorway that leads into the building. I can hear music and laughing inside. Jonah and I hold the invisibility cloak tight over us, and we stand up, making the boat wobble. It's not like the man in uniform can help us onto the dock, since he can't see us. Don't trip on the bottom of the cloak, I warn Jonah. I won't, he says. I hope I won't. I grimace and stare into the choppy water. I would not want to fall overboard into that. I'm pretty sure I see something green and brown slithering just under the surface. Crocodiles? Why are there always crocodiles in fairy tales? We oh so carefully manage to get ourselves off the boat without falling in the water. Then we follow Twyla and Ellie through the doorway into the secret castle.